For those of you a little older, I have a couple of questions I'd like to start. One is about anxiety, worry, frustration, anger. Anxiety sort of covers all those. And the other is about joy. Used to be when I was getting to know church members at a new member class or maybe one-on-one over coffee, I'd ask them these two questions. What keeps you awake at night? And the other question is, when do you feel most alive? To paraphrase those questions, what do you worry about? What are you frustrated or angered by? And the other, what makes you lose yourself in the moment and forget your worries? When do you feel really alive? If you're with family or friends today, I hope I invite you to ask each other those questions, because I think when you begin to answer those, you get clear about what's important in your life. If you want to know somebody really well, sooner or later you're going to hear those answers. And just to be clear, if you start asking and answering questions like that, there's a risk. There's a risk you will be known and perhaps judged. And there's a risk you're going to know somebody so well that what happens to them matters to you and even hurts when they hurt. If you're the praying type, well, for me, the first question, the thing that things that keep me awake at night, those are the things I ask God to fix or at least help me find an answer to or deal with. And I give thanks to God for the things and the times and the people when I feel really alive. If you're lucky, the answers to those questions change over time as you address issues that keep you awake at night or they get solved. And as you find new people, new things, things you love, maybe it's people or pets, maybe it's the world around you or the work you do. I hope those things change and that the things that keep you awake at night and the things that make you feel fully alive sometimes are the same. By the way, if you are someone who doesn't have anything keeping you awake at night, it just might be that you're not paying attention to the news, the world we live in, or the people around you. And I'm serious about this. If there's nothing that makes you feel really alive, you might want to talk to somebody, a professional perhaps, because there's a good chance you're depressed. Lack of pleasure, anhedonia, in diagnostic terms, is a serious thing. Honestly, I hope there are at least a few things that make you worried or frustrated or angry, because it means you're engaged in life. And I hope there are more than a few things that are so interesting, so engaging, so engrossing that you feel fully alive, that everything else fades into the background for you. Most pastors these days who are going through seminary are required to take CPE, clinical pastoral education. Usually it's in an institutional setting like a hospital. I took a quarter of CPE at St. Elizabeth's, the psychiatric hospital in Southeast Washington, Southeast Washington. Yep. And I learned a lot, but there are two things that really have stuck with me through the years. One is, people who are psychotic, who have lost touch with reality, don't think they're sick. they think they're Elvis Presley. I learned that it's a good thing for me to remember when I'm angry or arguing some closely held opinion of mine, that when I'm angry, it's probably a good idea for me to take my own mental pulse before I announce that you're crazy. I never think I'm wrong. I never think I'm sick in that way. But I've discovered I often am. But the other thing I remember about my supervisor in CPE, and it's a connection between those questions I was asking. Something my supervisor said, almost in an offhand, casual way. She said that she felt like she missed something if she went through a day when she didn't laugh and cry and get angry and get frustrated and get nervous and felt nostalgic and be disappointed, excited, confused. You know what I mean? She felt like she had missed life if she didn't feel all of those things every day. I think I mentioned to her that she obviously wasn't a Lutheran, because one or two good feelings a day is more than enough for us. But to use Jesus language, my CPE supervisor was thirsty for a life that was full of experiences. To use Jesus language, she was thirsty for an abundant life. I did start paying more attention to my life because of her words then, especially when something as fleeting as somebody being rude or getting stuck in traffic made me frustrated or angry or worried about getting to my next appointment, I'd take a moment to notice and realize that my life was fuller, even if it meant those not so pleasant feelings. I enjoyed the nostalgia and the ability to feel it when I heard a song that reminded me of years before, that brought back memories. I'd feel alive. The reading from John's Gospel today starts with, "On the last day of the festival, the great day." Literally, it says, "the mega day." I think my supervisor wanted to have a mega day every day, and that meant full of feelings. Today is a festival. The festival Jesus was attending was a celebration of the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and how God had given the Israelites food and water. I used to go to a lot of meetings. I still do now, but almost all of them are on Zoom instead of in person. And the people I meet with on Zoom are now thinking about what it's going to be like when we go back to doing in-person stuff more. And they're talking about what they missed 2 years ago when we couldn't gather anymore. Now that we're starting to talk about it, and maybe in-person worship sometime soon, we talk about what we're going to do and what we used to do. One of the things I miss in those old days, pre-meetings, was the pre-meeting time when people would stand in line around by the copier waiting to run their report, and we'd have what used to be called water cooler conversations, when people would stand around and talk about what they did last weekend or the restaurants they'd visited, concerts or movies they'd attended. Remember when we did those things? A favorite topic now on Zoom calls is what we miss about those good old days, and how you can feel hungry for something like that, thirsty for being in those conversations, the old life, thirsty for being able to see friends and shake their hands and give somebody a hug. I don't know what you're thirsty for right now, but I suspect if you think about what keeps you awake at night or when you feel most alive, it'll give you some answers to what you're thirsty for. And if you know people who have told you what keeps them awake or when they feel most alive, you know what they're thirsty for too. Maybe it's, well, for me, I am thirsty for things to settle down in Eastern Europe. Or sometimes things to settle down at home, or at work, or at school. Maybe it's being able to do those things that bring joy and laughter and nostalgia and frustration and all the rest. Whatever it is, God is standing there. Jesus is standing, as he was that day at the last day of the festival, standing there inviting us to drink it in and to share it. They used to be called water cooler conversations, and whether they happen over coffee or someplace or sometime else, share a drink of water and share what's deep and full. We're invited into that conversation again today, not only with each other, but also with God. Jesus invited people then and now into an abundant life. There are some who think that means having a lot of stuff. I think it means having a lot of life, all those joyous and frustrating experiences. Feeling really alive and having things that matter to you so much that maybe you lose a little sleep trying to figure out how to deal with them. Maybe it's training for a marathon that does that for you. Maybe it's working to end discrimination or establish justice in society. Whatever it is you're thirsting for, today's gospel reminds us that Jesus invites you to join him in it. Whether it's over coffee or on a Zoom call, or with people, but with people who are also thirsty for a more abundant life, full of love and justice and peace. I've thought a lot about Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks and John Lewis lately. I suspect they had trouble sleeping many nights. But I also suspect that there were times when they knew Jesus was standing there with them and when they felt fully alive on a bridge or on a bus or at a monument. And I want us to remember that Jesus is holding a glass of life water, abundant life water, holding one for all of us. And it's always at least half full. Thanks be to God.